Sir, I don't have a word. Word, yaw.
Got a little bit shorter. We're going to be studying, we're going to be going through for the next 45 minutes, a study that was put together by Kathy and Ed Madrano from White, South Dakota. And are we going around?
What is it about the wash pot and the bowl?
Is that focused enough?
I think Marie still sends out. What's that so much? We get a lot of questions about it. We decided this year to do a cassette along with everything else. So.
I might have told some of you guys, but my wife burns the most. That's why I don't pay any attention to her coffee. Okay. That went over really well. Okay, here we go.
Do you want to turn these by yourself?
Hello, good evening. We're going to study the Koine Greek, a study that was put together by Kathy and Ed Madrano from White, South Dakota. They couldn't be here. They really wanted to, and they are close friends of the Lord. We love them very much. Ed Madrano loves the Lord with all his heart and with all his being, and he is one of the most educated men that I know of the Koine Greek, which is the Greek of the New Testament. It's the language of God that he used to write the New Testament. Koine means common Greek. This Greek is lost pretty much in the world today, even by Greek-speaking people. Even Greeks don't know Koine Greek anymore. It's the language of the New Testament. And so I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this with all my heart, is that if you love the Lord and you want to get even closer to Him than you are, that His original language is available. And the instruments for you to learn it are available. You don't have to be a genius to learn it. As a matter of fact, people that weren't even educated past the point of the sixth grade that learned the Koine Greek well enough to read it right from a Greek Bible. And that's a fact. So, it shouldn't scare you. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Alright? Please open up your scriptures to Psalms. Psalms chapter 12. And here again, the Madranos say hello to you. And they love you, Lord. Psalms chapter 12. Verse 3. It's talking about the word of the Lord. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Please turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is talking about the Word of the Lord. The Son of God was called the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word of God is held utmost in your dispensation above all things. This is how we learn of the Lord. And as I said, learning His original language will bring you even closer to Him. 1 Peter 1, 25. Let's read a verse before. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the good news or the gospel is preached unto you. We are dealing with everlasting, almighty words of the living God. And that's a matter of fact. So let's turn to Ephesians 1. And if anybody ever purified metal, we just read that the word of the Lord is purified seven as silver is seven times. If anybody has ever purified anything, gold, metal, any precious metal, they know that they have to heat it, superheat it, and then dross or scum comes to the surface. They skim that off, and then they have to superheat it again. And then a dross or a contamination comes to the surface, and they skim it off again. And they superheat it again. And the word, the Lord looks at his word as being purified seven times over, as you would precious metal. So it's pure as pure can be. It's the word of life. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the original language, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to pronounce these words. And pretty much what we're going to do today is we're going to look at what the Lord has given to you in this dispensation in his Son. And what an awesome and marvelous thing that is. In order for you to understand what we're talking about here, you have to be in love with the Lord and Master that died for you, that shed his blood for you. It's a two-way street. He loves you. He loved you in the beginning enough to shed his blood and go to the cross for you. And this is a reciprocal thing. In that, you can love him. The knowledge of this truth is the most beautiful thing you'll ever learn in this life. So what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at original purified words of the Most High God. That's what we're doing. And in this, we're looking at the definitions of some of them in order for you to understand what God in the flesh has done for you. That's what we're doing. In order for me to communicate that to you, the only way you would understand the words that I'm saying out of the scriptures is that you have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those that please him, you cannot please him except that by faith in him. That's how you please the Lord. You have faith in the Lord by hearing the word of God and believing it. And the only way that you can please Almighty God is by having faith in him. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Godhead, through the Word of God, builds a faith in you. And this is the way that you understand his living Word. It's not a matter of how a human being can teach you something. It's how the Lord can teach you through his everlasting Word and through the faith he gives you to help you to understand who you are in him and who he is. That's a matter of fact. That is the only way you are going to have knowledge of the living God. That's what he's provided for you in this day. You are never alone. The Lord is always with you from this time forth. Actually, what I'd like you to do is turn to Colossians 2. And what we're going to do, turn to Colossians 2, I'm sorry, we're going to turn to Colossians 2, and then we're going to turn back to Ephesians 1. We have a particular baptism. We know that that's a heavy subject in a world that is really confused in the truth. What is baptism? What baptism is yours? What baptism can you claim? Do you need a physical baptism? That's one thing that the Lord the Son of God has already taken care of for you. And we'll see that. And that's part of your calling. And that's a loving part of what he's done for you. When the Lord isn't a dead God, when the Lord died 3 days later, he rose from the grave. We serve an ascended Christ. We have an ascension hope. We know that God came here and died in the flesh, and that's a matter of being our kinsman redeemer, meaning that he came in our form as being that part of our heritage. We are out of the heritage of the flesh. He came in that form as our kinsman and redeemer. He died. He was buried. But he rose again, and he defeated death, which is our supreme enemy. Death is not your friend whatsoever. And we've seen the ravages of death. We've witnessed the ravages of death, all of us have, in our lives, tearing our hearts out. The Lord has defeated that. Awesome. That's the truth. Death is not your friend. Death is not crossing a barrier where something magical or mystical is on the other side, minus the blood of Christ. That's the most heinous lie of the evil one propagated on earth. Without the Son of God, death is your sworn enemy. And the one that has the power of it is your sworn enemy. The Lord came, he died in the flesh, and he ascended above all heavens, and he seated you there in him. We're going to notice and read about the Greek word of that if I can ever get to it as I'm talking. But I have to do this. I have to say this. I think Eddie would have me say this. You died with him. You were raised with him. You were seated with him. And you will appear in glory with him. You are so identified with the Son of God that it's an act of love beyond our comprehension. And the only way we can understand it is through faith. It can't be done by the human heart and mind, really. And that's the attack that you will have here, and it will intensify as we go on here in this world. It's building up, it's intensifying. And you are precious, precious ones to him. I wouldn't know that if I didn't have a faith in him. Amen. So, normally I don't like to do that, but all right, so let's dim the lights a bit and look at some Greek. All right, and what's really important is that when you're looking at the Greek language, one really important thing to do is to pronounce it and really diligently try to pronounce it correctly. What that'll do is what we know that we're studying it right now, and we're just neophytes, which means new plants. We're not experts whatsoever in this language, but I'll tell you this, we do know, some of us do know, that when it grabs onto your heart, it's not something scary, it's something beautiful. All right, it's something that, like you guys grab onto the scriptures. When you grab on, when the Koine Greek grabs you, it's beautiful. You look at the English, you want to know what the Greek says. That's the way it works, okay? Don't be afraid of it. You don't have to be even a college graduate to learn it. First thing you should do is try to pronounce it correctly. Alright, that's the first thing to do. One thing I want to say is you always hear there's one Greek letter. It's called iota, but it's not iota, it's iota. That's just a small thing. It's never iota, it's iota, iota, iota. A lot of times you see what they call a pi sign. It never was pi, it's p, p, p.
So it's not iota, one iota, it's one iota. And it's not pi over, you know, something, something squared. It's supposed to be p. So they, the world has even messed that up. Iota is iota. And pi is not pi, it's p. Alright, and, you know, you can just stick that one in the back of your mind. Alright, now, what I want to do, and see, this is a, somebody's got to give me a high sign when I got 5 minutes to go. Alright, because I know that, I know I can stretch this out until, you know, you're not going to get to bed till 1 or 2. You know, so, I could do that to you, but Tony's got to come up here. But this in fact, it's sort of difficult, but it's not. So just bear with me. Read Ephesians in your English translations. Read Ephesians 1:3-4. Let's do that. All right. And by the way, the title of the Medrano's presentation is this: the riches of the wealth of God in the Son, His limited, boundless grace. And His limited, boundless grace is this in the Koine: kata, tan, pluton, taste, caritas, caritas, caritas. Caritas is grace. So, and isn't it beautiful? Caritas, the grace of the Lord in the Son of God. It's boundless. That's out of Ephesians 1:7. How can this caritas be boundless? Well, that's what's in the rest of Mysterion Truth. And once Mysterion Truth grabs a hold of you, you can't believe what God has done for you in His Son as being a human being. It's unspeakable. The only way you could understand that is through faith, via the Word, via the enlightenment, through the revelation, via the Holy Spirit. And if you have these things in your heart and mind, you have riches beyond the fathoming of your mind. Can I prove it in the three-dimensional world? No. It's proven by faith in your hearts. That's what you're walking in, through this veil of tears. But it all has a reason. All right? So, let's read Ephesians 1:3-4. Yeah, it doesn't matter if I can see or not. I can see well. The boundless caritas of the Almighty God. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has once and for all, I'll put that in there, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, which is far above all, which Christ rose to and ascended to. In Christ, we have all of these spiritual blessings in Christ, according as the Father has chosen us, as He has chosen us in the Son of God before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The boundless caritas of Almighty God. We've read it. You are going to be before Him without blame and holy before Him with every spiritual blessing. What is a spiritual blessing like? I have no idea. But we saw the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God working on earth. That power raised the dead. That power healed leprosy. That power raised the Son of God. And whatever all spiritual blessings are, the Father has delight in you through His Son to give you all of these. I can't explain the reality of what that is. The Lord has to work that out in your hearts. That's what you know. That's what you're doing here. And that's so precious, precious. We don't know. I don't know. So let's look at the Greek of Ephesians 1:4. Inasmuch as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The words for inasmuch as He chose us are these. Alright? And this is how it was laid out by Ed. Kathos, ex alexato, hemas. And what this means is inasmuch as He chose us. Kathos, ex alexato, hemas. Now, if you went home and you realized, inasmuch as He chose you before the foundation of the world, kathos, ex alexato, hemas, those are the Koine words of what that reality is. And I'm saying that the blessing in your hearts of mind and minds of knowing God's original New Testament language will bless the reality of what you know you have in Him. That's what the Koine will do for you. So it's not a grudging thing to learn it. It is a reality that will bring you closer to the mind and will of God. Seriously. One thing you'll notice in Ephesians is the Father working. The Father is so closely associated with you through His Son. I've said this before, I challenge you, any of you, to find a more closer association of a believer, Jew or Gentile, with our Heavenly Father. I want to see it, and I don't think it's there. So you're living in this period of time, in this dispensation, where an association of our dear Heavenly Father is available as in no other time in the history of the human being. That's a fact. This is through the Son of God. What I say is true. I know. That's what Ephesians leads you to know. Now, what you'll find is that this abounding grace is according to things. The Greek, Koine Greek word for according to, ta. Here it is. Kata. This is Ephesians 1:5. Let's read it. And this is how we're going to go until I'm done. Alright? So I hope that this, if nothing else, get used to it. Get used to the sound of the Koine Greek. Get used to the reality of what a Greek means in the language of your country. Kata. According to. We have all of these things in our calling according to a number of things that I'm going to enumerate out of the scriptures. Okay? This boundless grace where we saw that we were chosen in the Son of God before Israel, for sure. That's when Satan fell. But certainly it didn't take God by surprise that he fell. So certainly we were in the mind of God before Satan fell. That's a fact. So you were in his mind to be right where you are now in 2007, knowing the glorious good pleasure of his hanitas. That's a fact. You can feel beat up. You can have arthritis. You can have a bad back. You could be working your butt off. But how you feel in the flesh doesn't matter. All right? It has to do with faith in the Word of God. Your flesh has nothing to do with it. The new man has nothing to do with it. Your flesh is dying. Your new man is being renewed day by day. This is scriptural. So you're starting to live forever and growing in these things. No matter where you are, no matter how much you have to deal with, no matter what ails you might have, no matter what things you might face, no matter how you're grateful or anything they are, it's a matter and it's a done deal. You're sealed in it. These things, to understand them, are astounding. The only way you can understand them is through the God. It's all very, very, very. That's what a son of, adopted son of God should know. It's so very real. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, it's not children, blacken that out, blacker than black. The Greek word there is huiothesia, which means sonship. Children of God and sons of God are two very different things, and the delineation between the two, or the understanding of the difference of the two, is very, very important. So for the translators to write down that this is children is very, very wrong. We are sons of God, not children of God. And we were made such by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure not his what he loves to do. Now, my first telling to you guys, alright, wasn't going to let you off the hook. I was going to make you guys pronounce every one of these words. But I decided that that would take too much time, even though I should really tighten the screws on you and make you do this, you know? But I'm a nice guy at times, and we're going to forego that. Alright? So, what you've been given in the Lord is kata, according to the good pleasure of the giving heart of our dear Heavenly Father. Thelematos. That's the original Koine Greek word of the giving will of the heart of the Almighty Father. So, if you want to know the word that has to do with his giving heart and his will, it's the Koine originally given word, thelematos, caritas, thelematos, grace, giving will, his good pleasure. He's doing this out of good pleasure. So our dear Heavenly Father looks down at us, and he is saturating us with his good pleasure through his Son. And I think the forces of evil want to keep us from gleaning and glorying and joying and having power in these things. That's what I think one of the attacks of the evil one is that he keeps this knowledge and joy of these things either down or nullified in your heart and mind. Okay? All right, dear wife, please turn the page. Thanks. All right. In Ephesians 1:11, let's read that. We're going to read again. Kata, according to. So as we move through one of the major books of our calling, we'll find that we're blessed beyond compare, and we'll find the mechanism by how The Almighty is doing it. Kata. According, we saw before in 1:7, according to His giving good pleasure. He doesn't have to do anything for us at all. He never had to if He didn't want to. But listen, somebody who was rich beyond our imaginations came here and had His flesh ripped to shreds for you and me. A rich one came here and He died and shed His blood so that we could be rich beyond our imaginations. You know, and that's the love of God. And that's what the Son of God willingly and lovingly chose to do for you. I mean, seriously, that's who the Son of God is. These blessings, according to Ephesians 1:9, here's another kata. And you notice that where the accent is, you know, this is a Greek class, right? Let me just step back and say this. This is a language. So, and you have to use what's called a lexicon, which is a Greek dictionary. So I would have to say that if you want to learn about the Lord more, you should try to learn a language and like a dictionary. Now, some people might not go for that initially, but listen, in order for you to understand the living God, He's left you His living Word. He's provided you with the opportunity, with the mind, and with the education to read the Word of God. So, I suppose I could say, why would we even be here if we didn't like to read? You know, so hearing comes by the Word of God being preached. And then, as we'll look in one of my studies tomorrow, we'll find that He wants you to diligently seek Him and endeavor in this Word. Right? Those aren't my words. Those are 2 Timothy 2:15. Right? So we're endeavoring in the Word of God. And you know what? He can give you the strength, the energy, the power. One scripture in the Old Testament says they will mount up on eagle's wings and they shall not tire, more or less. And I thought about what, you know, boy, I feel tired, Lord. You know, you're supposed to laugh at that. Thanks. You know, boy, Lord, I feel tired a lot. I'm working my butt off. I feel tired. Boy, I sure don't feel like I'm mounted up on eagle's wings, you know, at all. I feel like maybe at best I'm on a pigeon. And but you know what? When you get into this Word, that's what that means. When you take the Word of the Lord into your heart and you study His Word, that's when you mount up on those wings and you don't get tired. You become insatiable. Oh, as far as learning the Word of God, you can't get enough. That's when you mount up on those eagle's wings because you're learning more of Him. And you don't get tired. And life takes on a much different perspective than just your 70 raising your family and making money. You know, which is ridiculous thinking if you think that that's all there is. That's bizarre. At any rate, let's look at Ephesians 1:11. And it says this in the English, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. I'm not going to go into this, but the fact of the matter is that if you learn in the Koine Greek, if you learn in the original, we haven't obtained an inheritance, we are His inheritance. We are His heritage. We are His body. The Son of God, according to Ephesians 1:23, I believe, is he is not full without every one of us, whatever that means. He is not complete without every one of us. So we are his inheritance. And when we stand for this calling in this age, that is what he has picked you for. You are his. And then later in Ephesians, in the same chapter, you are sealed with a royal seal, like a king would seal something. You are sealed with an almighty royal seal, no matter how you feel. Really, you're sealed with a holy seal. And you are made his inheritance. You are his forevermore. You will never, ever be alone again. Never, ever be alone again for eternity. That's what the rich one came here and brought to you. This is according to kata. Oh, this is according to, am I?
You, this is 111 here.
Oh, 111. Oh, okay.
You switch it?
Yeah, switch it. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. 111. Notice the according to's. Kata. Prothesin. Prothesin, actually. I'm sorry. That's epsilon. Prothesin. Kata, prothesin, tu, ta, panta, energuntas. And what that means is this, according in whom we have, were made, in whom we were made an inheritance, according to the purpose of him who works all things, after the counsel of his own will. So far, we could live in Ephesians 1 through 11 alone for the rest of our lives. Because we notice that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been given an abounding grace. We've been chosen as his heritage for eternity according to his good pleasure and according to his purpose. Prothesin, actually, is what it is. Prothesin, I'm sorry. I'm still a youngster at this myself. But his plan or purpose by which he chose you is the word prophesy. So, we notice that, again I'll repeat, that what he's given unto you is according to his good pleasure and according to his plan, according to his determinate plan. It goes on to say, to, ta, panta. And, you know, I hope you can just see these words. Most of them, believe it or not, I'm pronouncing correctly. To, ta, panta, energuntas. Notice the accent. Energuntas. The accent is over the un. Kata, another according to. Tain, bulain. Tu, thalematas, tu. And what that means is this. I'll read Ephesians 1:11. There's two according to in Ephesians 1:11. According to the plan or purpose, the prothesin of the one, all things working according to the counsel, which is his boulain, the counsel of his own thelematos again. His autu thelematos. So, he's given you all things according to his plan and according to his counsel, which is a counsel that is a thelematos, a giving will out of his heart because he wants to. Our dear Heavenly Father wants to do this. Thelematos. His thelematos is a wanting counsel. A thelematos bulein. A counsel out of a giving heart. These are the according to's of how he operates through his Son and through the Holy Spirit. And these realities are so stunning because they're so associated with our dear Heavenly Father. And I'm saying this in this time, a time where he has never worked such as such before in the history of mankind. Now you can say 3 minutes? All right. I got through 1/7 of Eddie Medrano's study. Sorry, Ed. But what I want to tell you is this, is I think I've shown you the validity of studying the original Koine Greek. You can learn it. The more, let's say if you're an athlete, let's say if you're a hunter, let's say if you're an engineer, let's say if you're a corn man, let's say if you're a cook, let's say if you're a mother, let's say if you're a secretary, let's say if you're a dentist, let's say if you're a manufacturer, let's say if you're a plumber, let's say if you're a nurse, let's say if you're a policeman, let's say if you're a caregiver, the more you do it, the better you're at it. The more you do it, the more of a master you become. It's the same as the Lord works with your human element, your heart and your mind, with the Koine Greek. The more you read it, the more it becomes familiarly loving to you, if I can say that. So the more you're with it, the better you're at it. In order to be a master athlete or a black belt and everything, you have to work your butt off. And the Lord looks for that in His Word. That's the way He works. He's not a magician. He wants those that want to diligently seek Him. I want to close with this. You are seated with the Son of God. You are buried with Him unto the baptism of death. That is your baptism. When He died, you died. That is your baptism. The baptism unto the death of Christ. Because your flesh died in Him. If ye be dead in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. You died in Him. You were raised with Him. You were seated with Him. You were blessed with every spiritual blessing in Him. As far as the Father is concerned, and this is in the aorist tense in the Greek, original Greek, which means it's a done deal. It was done once and forever. Even though you still live in the flesh, as the Father sees you, you were raised in Christ. You are seated in Christ. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have your baptism in the death of Christ. And you are ascended in the Son of God. It's a done deal, and you are sealed with the seal of Almighty God. That is a fact. That is the love of God. That is no matter how you feel. And you are left here. We are here for a reason. And we are here to stand for this truth, to learn of this truth, to pass this truth on to young ones, to our heritage in the flesh. We are here to stand for this truth as the principalities and powers view it. We are walking in good works with God, in God, that He preordained that we should walk in them according to Ephesians 3:10. That's a matter of fact. You make yourself available to Him, and He will work an almighty work in you. Thank you very much.